I think there's a lot of people out there that are going to be a lot better than you and more intelligent, better at business, whatever it is, but they might not actually be doing what they should be to their potential because they're not doing it. What have you got to lose? Just really go for your highest dreams and ambitions. Dream really big. You have to dream it to do it.
Carolyn Radford is the owner and CEO of Mansfield Tan, director at One Call Insurance, a trained lawyer and a mother of three boys. At just 29, Carolyn became one of the youngest football CEOs in the country and one of only two women in an industry not noted for its diversity.
I think I'm very hard on myself anyway. I'm a real perfectionist. Everything has to be perfect, which isn't always a good thing as well, because...
So interested to know, first off, how you went from working as a lawyer to owning a professional football club. Was there a screw it, just do it moment in that journey that took you from where you were to where you are now?
I've thought about this a few times, and I think life has a way, doesn't it, of kind of, you know, you can end up going one way and think that that's the route that you want to go to, and then you end up in a different lane. But I think I was from a very sporty kind of background, which a lot of people don't realise. You know, my mum was a PE teacher, so I either had to, in the evenings, watch other people play sport or get involved myself and be in the netball teams or the hockey teams, etc. You know, my family are very, very sporty as well. So my auntie, she's the CEO of squash and racket sports, and now she's just gone into... winter sports, ready for the Olympics. And I think, you know, all my family had that work ethic, Irish background, they're lawyers, doctors, the importance of education was instilled in us. You know, you've got to do well at whatever you do. But we're from a sporty background. You know, my cousin plays netball for England, and I don't know whether that's why, you know, I've ended up in football. I think that's more to do with my husband, John.
But you never had like a long-standing passion for football, and it was a burning desire to do what you wanted to do. It's just ended, like you say, you've got a few sliding door moments in your life, and that was one.
Yeah, I think so, but I've always enjoyed all different types of sports. You know, our three children, they're really sporty. You know, they, from everything, athletics, rugby's, we're talking about football, obviously. I think it's just that, the thrill of the sport, the passion it brings, and, you know, I just like I just love everything about sport.
And what's the hardest thing that you've done since you've become CEO, owner of Mansfield?
There's so many hard things. It's hard every single day, I think. I think anyone in business, you know, it's not easy. And it's not easy to be successful. It's very competitive. Even, you know, for example, in the football side of things, everybody comes to the club, the other side, and they want to beat you. So you're in the boardroom and you're like, oh, hello, how are you? How's your journey? You know, and at the end of the day, you're sat there and everybody wants to win. You know, you've got to find a way to win. And, you know, it's... I don't know. It's a complicated business, I think, sport.
And... what reactions have you had from the other owners and the other CEOs? As you say, you're meeting them before each game. Some you might know more than others because you see them a couple of times a year. But what were those like initial reactions that you had?
I think, you know, it's like a decade and a half ago. And football has changed a lot. You know, I'm really happy that, you know, we've been pushing females. We've got... doing brilliantly on the pitch and off the pitch. You know, things are moving and it's less unusual for a woman to be maybe making important decisions. It was very male dominated. And to be honest, I think it was like, oh, who's this woman? She's vacuous. She doesn't know anything about football. How could she? What is on her CV? She's not played football. She's not. Who? You know, it was kind of a little bit of a negative place to be in. Mm. But I think that shows my tenacity and determination, and just quietly, I've been doing that. You know, just to kind of behind the scenes. Me and my husband know how we work well together. Football's the fun side of things because we own One Call Insurance, yeah. And that's the business kind of part that helps,
yes.
you know, create the football world. Mm. So, you know, football should be fun for us, but it ruins Saturdays. It can ruin Tuesdays. And, you know, it brings a lot of heartache because we want it to do so well.
Yeah.
But going back to, your question, it was always kind of like talking to John, talking to... and I think people still do. They're like, oh, does she actually do anything?
Yeah.
Because, as I said, me and my husband, we work well together. And, you know, I want to be a great support to him. And, you know, the people around us, you know why we are successful and continue to be. Mm. And that's hard work behind the scenes.
And what about the reactions from your own club? Were you accepted immediately or did you have to work hard at that, for example?
Yeah, we've definitely had to work hard. You know, well, I'm saying we, the royal we.
Yeah.
I just
to work harder then, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think I'm very hard on myself anyway. You know, I'm a real perfectionist. Everything has to be perfect, which isn't always a good thing as well, because I think, you know, that's what, you know, my husband John always says, you know, if you're waiting for that perfection, it's never going to happen. You've got to actually just do, you know, do it and then just keep on doing it. You know, action's the most important thing because it's never going to be perfect. You're never going to have a whole perfect set of scenarios. So I've worked very hard at being, you know, self-reflective. I'm a learner. I always want to not be, you know, completely set in a certain way. I want to make sure that I look at things, you know, laterally, and that I'm not stuck in my ways, and that I'm not proud. I'm happy to listen to everybody's opinion and then develop a way through it. I think that's my best skill set. Being able to pivot and being able to read a situation and be able to guide people, you know, to do what I want them to do.
and talk to me about the vision then, when you first came in, and how has that changed? That you say it's like over a decade now since.
Yeah.
And you were what, 29 when you?
Yeah, it was like 28, 29. I'm now 42. It was. I think, you know, going into Mansfield, it was a very much a club in a deprived area that hadn't had any love or care put into it. Mm. And it wasn't kind of a passion project or anything like that. I think John is from Mansfield and has done well. And wanted to give something back. And it was also naivety. I think we kind of, if we'd have known what we were getting involved in, would we have potentially, you know, carried on? But there, that I think that happens in life. You know, if you, it's a good job that you don't know what you're waking up to, or else you probably wouldn't get out of bed.
and it's often the way. I just did a live podcast event with a guy called Jimmy Cregan, who sold Jimmy's Iced Coffee brand for you know, however many millions. And I was like, you know, 13 and a half years ago, he started the business, Jim. Would you, knowing what you now know, started? It was like, not a chance in hell. Even knowing the rewards at the end and going,
exactly.
I've just paid my mortgage off. I've got nothing planned for the rest of my life. I'm, again, you know, in my 40s. It was like, no, wouldn't do it.
No. But I think there's something really special, you know, in that kind of, that innocence of going into a situation. I mean, I remember, you know, it kind of had nothing. We didn't own the ground, the football ground.
Okay.
So we had to negotiate. It was a very complicated set of negotiations, given that the previous owner was quite hostile. It was a hostile situation. Mm. You know, at times when we first took over, we were locked out of the ground. So it was almost like we had no place to play. Wow. There was no training ground. They were playing on the local park in Mansfield.
Wow.
You know, it was kind of like, you know, the walking, people would be walking dogs. The next minute, the player would fall over into, you know, it was really, and I think we had a strategy in that we needed to, A, get the football club, make sure that the ground was owned by the football club so that that never happened again.
Yeah.
And so we built like a state-of-the-art training ground, upgraded all the facilities, and put our heart and soul into it, you know, money, time, investment, and have made a lot of mistakes along the way, but it seems like yesterday, I think, that, you know, Paul Cox was the manager. And again, he was, you know, new to management and didn't, it was a really special time, those beginnings where, you know, we actually really didn't know what we were doing running a football club.
Yeah.
You know, we were like all these pies kiosks. There was no structure in place. There was no business. People were kind of putting money in filing cabinets because it was all very cash based. There was no accountancy. We were running around putting pies into the kiosks, running
hands
around
on as you like.
Like really hands on.
Yeah.
You know, my mum was kind of in the kitchen making lasagnas for the corporate bit.
Really?
Yeah,
amazing.
It was because we were like, oh my god, what do I do here? There's nobody doing anything.
And you've got to hit it from two angles. Then you obviously want to. Yes, it's, you know, there's an element of passion, John being from Mansfield, but equally, you want it to at least wash its face, if not make a profit. And if you haven't got those structures in place, and meanwhile, you want to invest in the football side of things, but if you don't own the ground and they're playing in the park, so you had everything to do.
We had everything to do, you know. And I think that the good thing was that we, and what I always have, and John, is good relationships with people. So with Paul, his wife, Natasha, you know, we kind of, we changed the way that the football club was run in a very short period of time, and all that energy and naivety but enthusiasm, you know, we got promoted. And then it was like a fantastic moment, an achievement. And then since then, as I said, we built the training ground, which is like, we're going for category two now, like status, really invested, because I think for the football side of things, we have to, you know, make sure that we've got players coming through the club. For the, you know, FFP and everything, we need to, that's the only way that, you know, you can kind of see that the business would be able to wash its face, because the pies aren't that great in the kiosks.
And you know, number of initiatives. I mean, how many teams have you got now compared to when you were there? Did you literally have a first team and a reserve team, and now you've got you restarted the women's team, is that right?
So we've got the women's team. We have a really great community system as well at the club now. So we have you know, children from the age of 7 all the way through. You know, there's hundreds, when you go down to the training ground, there's hundreds of kids there. It's really lovely to see. And they're really proud of the football club as well. I think that's what we've done, is made you know, the community of Mansfield proud to be in Mansfield again. You know, because it really had politically had a kicking. So it was, I think it's great, you know, and football, you know, at that level, it lifts a whole town. It lifts a whole community. And, you know, we had the crowds were, say, going from less than 1,000 on average, and now we, you know, we're full every week.
Literally, my next question was like, what? How many people were coming? And then now you've got that, you know, the whole town behind you.
Yeah.
At the moment of listen, when people listen to this, you're top of the league, and touch wood, fingers crossed, you get promoted and you're into League One. What kind of time scale? How long were you in non-league, and how long have you been in?
I think it was probably about 3 years. So I remember being pregnant with my eldest son Hugo, who's now nearly 11. When we got promoted, and we were champions as well, which was good.
Yeah.
But then every year since, we've tried really, really hard to do it again, and it's not easy. There's so many different factors involved, and so I don't think you can kind of put timescales to it. You know, I always think it's like kind of. I always say, oh, it wasn't meant to be, you know, everything's, but there are different things that we've learnt from, that it's not just me and John, it's not just the manager, it's not just that, there's so many different factors to get that winning magic recipe. And I think consistency, not changing the team, not changing the squad too much.
I was going to say, what's different this time around? Do you feel that you've maybe got right?
We've got an amazing manager. Yeah, I mean, Nigel, he's got the best pedigree, you know, out there. Mm. He really, you know, he's always been around football. You know, him and his brother Simon are, you know, they're geniuses. And you know, and the people that they surround themselves with as well, you know, they're all their backroom team, they're tight unit, you know, he's honest, he's genuine, you know, no bullshit, do you know, and that is really rare to find. Mm. And I think that he feels the same about us as well. We, you know, people say, I love football and everything, but I'm not going to become a pundit, or you know, I'm not going to start commenting, and I'm not going to pick the team, you know, and John's not going to pick the team.
Yeah.
But I think there are some chairmen out there that do.
and in multiple sports.
Yeah, you have to know your lane.
They have the right to do that, some people.
I mean,
don't
it's
they?
Just silly, isn't it? Because you're bringing in a specialist.
Yeah.
Let them do the job. And, you know, that's the first rule of business, isn't it? You can't do everything. And if you do want to do everything, then you're just going to work on your own.
Yeah, I mean, I always say, you know, my listeners will be used to me saying this, but I'm, you know, lucky enough to work for Richard Branson twice in two different companies. And each time, seen him start new companies, and each time he would just get the best person for the job.
Yep.
And I remember, you know, Virgin Sports, he literally got the CEO from the biggest sporting event in the world, which I didn't realize was the New York Marathon.
Yeah.
Put her behind a desk, gave her a small number of support staff, less than I kind of imagined he would do, but it was literally three or four people. And it was like, you know, this is your runway. Once you hit these markers, you know, we'll then build more of a team around you, but we'll also incentivize you by giving you shares in the business, etc. So everybody's incentivized to do it.
And I think that's a very, very good way to do it, to be honest. Well, obviously it is. Look at Richard Branson.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's the best thing to do. You know, get your weakest skill set, get the best person for the job, and also, you know, get the best that you can possibly get.
Yeah.
You know, aim high in your recruitment.
Yeah.
And quality over quantity.
Mm. And obvious question maybe, but how do you compete with the Wrexham then?
Oh. Do you know, but I remember going to Wrexham, you know, years ago. I really, really like, I've seen a couple of the episodes of the documentary, but I really like I like Riot. I like Blake
too.
More. Girl crushing over Blake, definitely. But I think it's brilliant. You know, I really do. And I think it's given visibility to League Two and the lower leagues. It's, you know, my Apple feed thing all the time. It's Wrexham keep, you know, getting all the headlines. But it is, it's fantastic. It really is. And it's lifted the whole community. And I think that's you know, that's what football does. You know, people, it's the modern church, you know, I always say.
Yeah, they, I think you're right.
People that, you know, kind of, they come together on a Saturday, you're sat in the, you know, you've got Mary next to you and, you know, Bill there, and, you know, they sit there, they go through the highs and the lows of the games and have a pint and get together and, you know.
And do you think you can compete? I mean, they're obviously lower than you are in the league at the moment, but...
I mean, do you know what I've learned as well is not to be too, you know, the minute you start going... Oh yeah, we're gonna win the league. It comes back to bite you.
Yeah.
You've got to have humility, and you know, it's all, you've got to be measured. Not anything can happen. You know, there's 13 games to go. It's an unlucky number. You start with all these superstitions, though. Oh my gosh, it's terrible.
Yeah.
I'm like, if I haven't. I have it like a whole ritual, and then I feel to blame if something goes wrong. I'm like, oh, it's because I've not done this. So I guess it's OCD, is it?
But I don't think there's many sports that have as, or maybe it's, you know, a sporting thing. You don't know in any other spheres of life that you have so many superstitions, but there seems to be so many in football.
And it's kind of, and I think everybody does that as well. You start to blame yourself. I don't know, maybe it's just me, I don't know. But I'll think, oh, you know, we didn't win and it's my fault because I should have, like, not sat in this seat. Yeah, I should have been, when we scored when I was sat there. And then as soon as I moved to here, anyway, it's just crazy.
Okay, so interested to know... rewinding things back to the beginning, kind of action steps of what you did. Had you and your husband discussed beforehand, like, what possible reactions there would be once the announcement was made?
No.
Really?
No, and I go back to that naivety. Mm. I kind of, you know, obviously wasn't from the football world beforehand. But, I, you know, I went to Durham University, read politics. I'm a clever girl, you know, always did well in school, going back to that perfectionist kind of aspect, always tried to do the best that I could do, you know, became a lawyer and always been quite confident in my own abilities and weaknesses as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important, you know, to be self-reflective in order to move forward. And I've got really great skill sets. And yeah, it was kind of, I'd already been kind of doing the job anyway, and being involved in the different businesses that we own, because we've got One Call Insurance that has so many different offshoots of different companies. And it was kind of like just almost thrown to the lions. I felt like, I was like, oh my God, people are being really mean. Like, what? And almost having to justify, like, oh, I went, I did this. I'm clever. I'm not, you know, I went to a great university. I did the, and having to go through all these processes of justifying to people why I should be doing a job, and justifying it actually to people who, but I've done better.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, it's kind of like, and they'll be sat there, like, you know, judging.
Yeah.
Judging. And I've had to mute the noise, but that's taken years and years.
How's that?
And actually had probably a psychological impact on me.
Do you think so?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're all about mental health now, and especially with the footballers. And I really sympathise, you know, with, you know, the aggression within football sometimes. You know, it is all great being, you know, kind of competitive and wanting to win. But, you know, these are young, especially going back to the players on the football pitch, they're trying their best, you know, like, they, or, you know, the comments and the, you know, even on a match day, you know, being thrown at them. And yeah. then not just that, because now we've got, so I mean, 15 years ago, we have many it is, there wasn't the social media really now that there is.
Yeah.
The trolling, the, yeah. and it can be really vicious and words do hurt.
Mm.
And, you know, the only, it's like, you know, my mum, she's like, say as, do as I say, not what, yeah.
yeah.
And so she'd be like, just don't read them all. And then people would be like, your mum's just been telling somebody to back off, you know, really? If they're giving me, you know, back in the day. But
yeah.
I think, but it's education and awareness. And also just proving people wrong. You know, yeah, that you've got staying power.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, it is, it's not the easiest industry at
no.
all, you know, no. to work in and to navigate your way through. And so I just kind of like keep below the radar.
Do you read comments anymore?
No.
To footballers, do you know, like in the...
I bet they do, yeah. Mm. Yeah, they do.
But
it's important not to, because if you're listening to what this person says and then you're trying to change yourself to suit this person, the person's a hater and doesn't want to, you're better off not listening.
Yeah.
And carrying on being authentic to you. To yourself. But I don't know. And also, as humans, I think we've got this this ability to have a negative voice in our heads usually anyway.
Yeah.
And I've really had to work on being your own champion.
Yeah, it's like tuning that one down and tuning the champion up instead. I always say, you know, the devil and the angel on your shoulder, and it's like which one do you give your time to?
But that's really hard to do. But I think that's maturity as well, you know, and age and wisdom and time in the role.
Different in your 20s, definitely. 30s totally. And 40s.
Totally. Yeah. I think definitely in the beginning, because people were ferocious and really, really bad. And it would really upset me, or sometimes I'd, you know, be angry and react.
Would you?
And then that's what they wanted.
Yeah, I was going to say, then you've given it almost.
Given it. And then,
And is it, what kind of stuff do people say? Is it like, you know, personal as well? Like trying to get a reaction?
Definitely okay. Back in the day. Yeah. Back in the day. But our fans really are so really supportive, and you know they're brilliant, and they know that, you know, we've got good hearts and, you know, mean well and try really hard to make the football club as successful as it can be. But the only problem is that that's just our little army.
Yeah, you've got another 91.
Exactly. Mm. So, who want to beat you?
It's so tribal, isn't it? As I said, I've gone from like football to rugby, and my brother's kind of done the opposite. He's got two boys who are the same age as my two girls, and so like 15 and 17. And we went to, so they're Bristol Rovers fans, and they literally travel all around the country, every game. And invited us to a game when we were going up for the weekend anyway. And my youngest, Amelia, who is just turned 15 last week, she was 14 at the time, went, and my wife's like going, are you sure you really want to go? And it was, you know, behind the goal.
Oh, right.
And I mean, takes a lot to shock me, but I was kind of gobsmacked as to how industrial it was, and people just being pulled out, thrown out. And then when the crowd starts moving, I was literally, oh my God, I'm going to lose her. Literally just like when someone scores or a near miss, and the whole movement of people.
Yeah.
It was pretty frightening. And I can take whatever, but I was more worried being with her, I suppose. And my brother's like oblivious because of his boys, and he's kind of speaking in an industrial way with them anyway. It's very different to how my wife's you know, brought up our children with me. So
right.
I was pretty shocked.
Exactly. No, I know, funnily enough, we were talking about it the other day. I mean, we went to watch Liverpool and we were in just before Christmas, really nice corporate seats, you know, took the boys. I've got three boys. And yeah, I mean, they'd kind of stand up and, but it was all very.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we'd been to kind of Nottingham Forest games because we like to go to different football matches as well. And they, you know, they, our tickets were in that kind of,
right.
And the boys were like, oh, and again, yeah, you kind of, because, I mean, it's not everybody, but some people kind of go to football for that release.
Exactly, they do.
And they kind of, you know, they'll go from being an accountant and very, you know, and then they change their personality because it is, it's that adrenaline fueled and they're with their tribe, as you said, and they're with their, you know, and it's dramatic and it's, and it also, you know, when you lose or if they, it's horrible, it's like a kick in the stomach, you know, when you're on the losing side or whatever, or, you know, the referee does a bad decision or it does evoke that kind of real passion and
it's raw, isn't it?
And raw feeling. Mm. Yeah. But, and it's an education piece, I think, which the EFL are really trying to push at the moment as well, of that kind of respect boundary. Mm. But, yeah. And I think sometimes, you know, in Mansfield, there's been times where I'm sat with my three boys or we've been at, you know, away match or something. And, you know, I do hear like little comments or it's less and less, I think.
Okay.
But
you develop sometimes, a thick skin, I guess, anyway.
Yeah. I'll kind of try to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But but yeah, no, it's fun.
Yeah. And it probably doesn't, I was thinking about this before on the way, it probably doesn't help when I was thinking about the Bristol Rovers example, when your manager at the time, Joey Barton, and your fans kind of take on the personality of, and you just think somebody like that who's come from a very rough background and has had the, I won't repeat them again here because everyone probably knows them, but the opinions that that he's had about, for example, women in football is just like...
Yeah.
Not needed.
Been vocal with it.
100%.
Yeah. And I think, you know, people are, they're always going to have their opinion of you and, you know, you kind of just let them.
Yeah.
Because
you can't change everybody.
No, you can't change everybody's opinion. As long as you're true to yourself and you know that you're a good person and you're trying your best, then, you know, that's all that matters.
And what is it about football that you think, you see it more and more as you say, but what do you think it is that you don't see females, you don't see people of colour in decision-making roles? And how much has that got to change?
I think it's across industries though as well.
Do you?
I think, and there's a lot of different factors about it. It's not not one for quotas and you know, kind of pushing it because it's a to be politically correct.
Yeah.
You know, I think you've got to be right for the role. Mm. And, you know, but football, we've come a long way in that it was banned for women for such a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it, you know, it's kind of, it's incredible to think that, you know, that happened in actual, it's not actually a long time ago either. It's in recent modern history. You know, so that's brilliant that we can now play football and but it's, I don't, it's a very complicated thing. And the other thing is as well that I feel, and it's again across different industries too, is that women, we are still, you know, we take the roles of being the caregiver, you know, the person, at home that's doing the cooking, doing your washing, doing, I mean, I do not stop all day like a lot of people out there.
Yeah.
Literally being everything, you know, I've got three children, I've got multiple businesses, I've got a husband, high maintenance husband, you know, it's kind of, it's very difficult and you're taking that time off to have children, you're taking, so... It's got to be, you know, I think industries have got to be a little bit more amenable to modern life And certainly for me, I think as well, like going into my mid-40s now almost, you know, there's a lot of things that happen as women. You know, men have midlife crises and, you know, things, but we've gone through childbearing years.
Yeah.
And now, you know, you it's very complicated. And I think, you know, I really make sure that my husband knows that as well in terms of insurance as well, because that's quite male dominated too. And very clicky and, you know, very closed. So that he makes sure that, you know, you kind of look after women a little bit more and champion them, because, you know, we are a lot of things to a lot of people.
And would you give any advice for those females who are looking to get into a male-dominated industry like football or insurance?
You've got to be consistently persistent. You've got to be focused and not let the noise, as we were speaking about before, get the better of that voice in your head.
Yeah.
Like, make sure that you're, and be kind to yourself. I think that's the most important thing that I'm realizing, that I have had kind of like not a mini breakdown, but a kind of a crisis in confidence, because it was all go, go, go. You know, with the football, with building businesses, you know, we've the insurance company, the brokers based in the UK, with Brexit, the actual insurance arm, the insurance company has had to be moved from where it was domiciled before. We've had a lot going on. Business is really hard, not just in the football side of things, in the insurance side of things. It's very competitive. I wouldn't say burnout, but you know, sometimes I think I don't know how to put it across, but really that sometimes you think, I don't know. I think I need to take the question back.
Well, it's often, you know, Carolyn. I've learned this the hard way. I think it's like, if you don't learn to look after yourself and spend that time looking after yourself, you can't look after anyone else. You can't look after your business. You can't look after your kids. You can't look after your clients.
Yeah.
And I just kept making that mistake. You know, when I left Virgin Atlantic, those first, like, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years in business.
Yeah.
Before I actually just learned to slow down, to kind of zoom back out, because we're all so focused on being zoomed in, especially like it focuses you even more, doesn't it? But you take that time to zoom out and actually, I think, look at yourself and how much time you're actually spending on yourself.
That's right.
You invest that time, and it's only going to benefit everyone else you come into contact with.
Yeah, and I think that's it. You've got to get your priorities right.
Yeah.
And you know, just before COVID, we moved to Portugal for various reasons. You know, Brexit and all this kind of thing. And also because I think we got to that point where, like you said, with the mobile phones, with football being football Saturday, Tuesday, we've got all the business. Every single day. And we were missing that time with the children and you know, not getting those years back.
Yeah.
And we kind of went away on holiday and we were like, what about if we tried to do, you know, things remotely, which is before people were even thinking about doing that, but, you know, pre-COVID. So we were ahead of the game in terms of how to motivate people from a distance and make sure that they're doing a job to a good degree, you know, consistently, when you're not there driving them and physically seeing them. But yeah, moving to Portugal was great from a personal point of view, and spending time as a family you know, we were literally on our own, you know, where we used to have like a house full of people, going to the businesses all the time and literally not having any quality, you know, personal time together.
Yeah, yeah.
But then, yeah, this kind of burnout feature, and I think it happens to men and women as well,
definitely,
that you kind of reevaluate what you're actually doing. And so I've had one of those moments and kind of...
Recently?
You know, recently, yeah. Yeah, say in the past year, you know, with my children, you know, they're in school here now.
Yeah.
And kind of refocusing on myself, I think, now.
And I think it's important to do it regularly. And I've just done it again similarly, like started before Christmas, and I'm kind of still going through it really, because it's... You kind of go, okay, what do I love doing? You know, what lights me up on a daily basis? When I actually wrote it all down, all the, you know, the majority of things that I love doing, you're like, well, I did that a year ago. That I did, you know, twice a year. And you're like, well, if you're just doing things for other people, you know, it's their agenda. You're living someone else's dream. You know, what do you actually want to do? Because the time on this planet is finite.
That's right.
So we might as well make full use of it. And if we can help people along the way, fantastic. But first and foremost, as I said, if you can't look after ourselves, I think, what can you do?
It's that kind of moment, isn't it? That, you know, it's not going to be forever.
No.
That, you know, we have you know, please God, hopefully we're here for a long time, but you just never
agreed.
Know, do you?
No.
And yeah, definitely. I was just driving one day, pulled over the car, and I was like, I think it just like the years of this stress and strength and, you know, I'm all flying the flag for everybody and, you know, be kind to yourself and do this and do that. But sometimes you've got to actually, you know, not preach it, but actually do it yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, years of guiding people and telling them, you know, being strong for them, or come on, we'll go again, we'll do this again. It's constant, you know, you're the one at the top. Like, everyone's looking to you for what your reaction's going to be, and it's always going to be strong, isn't it?
Yeah, it has to be, doesn't it? But then maybe you show vulnerability, which is difficult, I think. But
yeah, but I think it's, and I, you know, it's a really good thing to do as well, to actually say, you know, I need some guidance, I need some help. You know, I've not had counseling or anything like that. Maybe I should, or because I think it's important to look at life holistically as well. Like you said, you were doing your cold water
swimming
and just things like that. You know, again, it's great that people are talking about it and what helps them.
So, Carolyn, I want to ask you, what is the one thing that you felt that you've needed to be able to get from where you were to where you are now? Is it, you know, is it a quality? Has it been a piece of advice somebody's given you? Has it been a mentor that's helped you get here? Or is it something, some quality that's come from within yourself?
I think probably a combination of everything. Having strong people around you, you know, my husband, obviously, he's my mentor, best friend, everything. You know, he's incredible, amazing. My mum, you know, I've got really strong family, because when you're knocked down, you need them to pick you back up, and you need to have somebody that you can tell them everything, somebody to give you good advice, and keep you going, pushing you to carry on. And within yourself, I think just being, be driven and just be, just do it, I think is, you know, it's that Nike say, but just to actually not, I think there's a lot of people out there that are going to be a lot better than you. And more intelligent, you know, better at business, whatever it is. But they might not actually be doing what they should be to their potential because they're not doing it.
Absolutely.
So I think just literally what have you got to lose?
Yeah.
You know, just really go for your highest dreams and ambitions. And it's like that kind of, you know, thinking that you're doing it, dream really big. Mm. Manifestation, that's the cool word at the moment. And I think I always say to John and I that we naturally do that.
Yeah.
Like we're not dreamers, but you dream it to do it.
100%.
You have to kind of like,
visualize it. What it's like to have that. And, you know, have that mapped out as that's the way you want to get to.
Yeah.
And if your subconscious is helping you whilst you're asleep, get close to that goal. And you said it is a trendy word at the moment, but I totally believe in it. I've seen it happen. Mm. My wife says I literally just like think about something and it happens that. I don't know.
It is though, but it's that kind of, just almost you're already there, like you're already in that dream position. Just keep doing it and keep pushing towards it, and you'll get there. And I just definitely have that confidence. Don't compare yourself to other people, because you're you and you've got your unique way of doing things and personality, and there's nobody else like you. And just have that confidence to just think. Don't think about it. Don't even think about what could happen, what couldn't happen. Mm. Don't just do it.
Yeah, I say this to my girls as well, and I'm sure you probably see it in football. You know, there's going to be people who are more talented than you are, but if you are, to take your phrase, consistently persistent. I use it two words. I've never put them together
I know. And I like that. It's a new phrase.
Yeah, it's true though, isn't it? Because I think, you know, the talented person isn't going to be the last man standing at the top of the pile, because 99 times out of 100, they get distracted, they lose focus, they haven't got the motivation, etc. You see it time and time again in sport, and it's the same in business.
No, it's true. You know, but also you do have to put in the hard work. Because it is hard work, and you've got to be, you know, the first, like they say about Ronaldo, he's the first one at the training ground and the last one to leave.
Yeah.
So, you know, it isn't just fluke.
Yeah.
Life as well. Like people make it look easy, you know, it's not.
Yeah. And you know, you say your boys with rugby, et cetera. It was the same they said about Johnny Wilkinson with rugby, that he was always the first one to training and the last one to leave. You know, like, well, it was no fluke that he won the World Cup for England then.
No. That's it. It's like at school, isn't it? When you're like, oh, how before the exam, have you done much revision?
Yeah.
And everybody goes, oh, no, I've not. Well, you know.
Last question for you is, are you currently where you want to be?
No, I'm still I'm living my dream, my dream. And it's bigger than where I am now. I think that's what you've got to do, isn't it?
I agree.
We're now in the Champions League. we've got Blake Lively sat next to me. We're talking Gossip Girl. But do you know what the main thing is happiness. And that's one thing that I... you know, I always say to my children, I just want them to be happy.
Yeah. Same.
You know, do whatever makes you happy. So.
Because, if you choose something to do you're unhappy with, it can be a long old life, can't it?
Yeah, although football, when we've lost on a Saturday, that makes me unhappy.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing I thought as you were talking earlier, I thought the difference between... Monday to Friday, like most industries, is that you're through the weekends. So there's never that kind of obvious division as to, right, that's it, the week's over.
No.
It's on again.
It is. And it's even through, it's non-stop. You've got, you're planning then for the next season. You're planning, you know, we're doing our pre-season program at the moment, where we're going to be, where are we going to take them abroad, are we going to do it here? You know, you constantly, there's no end. Christmas, you know, you've got loads of matches at Christmas. Easter's coming up,
we've got lots of games then.
And it's the funny thing as well, when you're watching a football match as well from where I am, so you can put everything in place before the game, but then it's over to the players.
Yeah, that must be tough,
And that's where, you know, privately I might be saying, oh my God, that's, you know. bad management decision, that putting him on or not. Yeah. I don't ever do that.
And look, if people listening, watching, want to connect with you, want to come on this journey with you, what's the best way to get in touch?
Ooh, I'm on my social media a little bit, Instagram. Okay.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah.
Instagram, okay.
Instagram,
yeah.
Mansfield Town Football Club.
Yeah, exactly.
.com.
Brilliant. Well, look, I wish you personally and also business-wise all the best.
Oh, thanks, Alex.
Hope you win the league, get promoted as well. And then personally, all the very best, bringing up the boys.
Thank you.
And your life. It's been an absolute pleasure. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Wasn't sure what to expect.
No, I've never
different
done this
tangent
before.
Yeah. Because you hadn't been on a podcast before,
no.
But I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. A little bit rambly, but I'm sure I'll be cringing when I listen to it back.
No, you won't. First of many, I'm sure.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for watching this episode of Screw It, Just Do It. Let me know what you thought of it in the comments below this video. Has this episode helped move you closer to where you want to be? All that I ask is that if you enjoyed this episode, and then it's moved you closer to getting to where you want to be, that you share this episode so that it helps one other person do just the same. Just ask yourself what small action will move you forward to get you from where you are, then screw it and just do it. Until next time.